Now we're ready to begin the 11th chapter of Zechariah. In chapter 11, we have another view. We have a different scene of the coming of the Messiah. In stark contrast to chapters 9 and 10, in which the Messiah is shown to be a wonderful shepherd, calling people from all nations, and bringing about abundant prosperity, this passage here, chapter 11, presents an ugly picture of the rejection of the Messiah, who is the true shepherd. The prophet turns from the glories of the Messiah, who was received by the church after it was established, to the national apostasy and rejection of the Messiah while he was in human form here on earth. The first three verses of this 11th chapter show dark and figurative expressions which are used when the scripture predicts things at a great distance. The destruction of Jerusalem and of the Jewish church and nation is here foretold. This is something our Lord Jesus prophesied of very plainly when the time was at hand. Verse 1 says, "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars." As a fire sweeping down to destroy the whole land of Israel, Zechariah describes a fire of judgment that would consume the ungodly, as a forest fire consumes trees. The devastation is not limited to spiritual judgment only, but includes the physical death of people as the land of Israel is judged. The language used here is the most poetic in the book of Zechariah. Lebanon, Bashan, and Jordan represent the whole land. As judgment sweeps from top to bottom, covering the entire nation, from the north, the inland area, and down the Jordan Valley to the southern border. We see in verse 1 the preparation made for that destruction. Open your doors, O Lebanon. You would not open them to let your king in. Now you must open them to let your ruin in. Some understand Lebanon here to represent the temple, which was built of cedars from Lebanon, when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70. The temple was burned with fire by the Romans, and the gates were forced open by the conquering force of the soldiers. Others understand Lebanon here to represent Jerusalem, or rather the whole land of Canaan, to which Lebanon was an inlet on the north. Verse 2 of chapter 11, "Howl, fir trees, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down." This verse is telling those who had rejected the Messiah that all shall lie open to the invader, and the cedars, which are the mighty and eminent men, shall be devoured. And this shall alarm those of lesser rank. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. If the mighty cedars have fallen, surely the smaller, more vulnerable trees will be unable to stand. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan. The poem here moves from Lebanon on the northern border of Israel to Bashan on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, known for its oaks and lush pastures, according to Amos 4:1 and Micah 7:14. If the cedars have fallen, let the fir tree wail. How can the slender fir stand if the stately cedars fall? And let the oaks of Bashan that lie exposed to every injury wail, for the dense forest has come down. Verse 3 says, "There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled." The shepherds are howling or mourning. A voice of the roaring of young lions. The shepherds howl because of the loss of their pastures. The young lions roar because of the loss of their homes and food. Both of these are figurative expressions of the misery that will occur in the land as a result of the ravaging judgment of God. As this chapter unfolds, it becomes clear that this very likely is speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 and the associated devastation of the whole land, which resulted in the dissolving of the Jewish state. There is also a possibility that some of Israel's great troubles today, with all of their surrounding nations opposing them, are yet a result of this prophecy, which is based upon the rejection of the Messiah at this present time. The wailing shepherds represent those who have fallen as they wail for grief and shame. It also represents those who see their own turn coming as they wail for fear. The great men of the land receive the alarm with much confusion. The great men were the ones who held the office of shepherd among the people, and they should have protected God's flock, which was committed to their care. This was the duty of both the princes and the priests, but they are as lions that made themselves a terror to the flock. The lions roar, for the lush thicket of the Jordan is ruined. The pride of the Jordan was the lush thickets on the banks in which the lions sought refuge. When the river overflowed, the lions came up from the thicket, and they came up roaring. Now in the next verses 4 through 14, we see that the cause for the calamity of verses 1 and 3 is given here. The cause for the calamity was the rejection of the true shepherd. God used the prophet Zechariah as an actor, playing the part of a shepherd to illustrate the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, and the rejection he had to endure. Instruction given in verses 4 through 6 are acted out in verses 7 through 14. So Zechariah is made a symbol of Christ, as the prophet Isaiah sometimes was. The true aim of these verses is to show that for judgment Christ came into this world, John 9:39. This was for judgment for the Jewish church and nation, which were, about the time of his coming, corrupted by the worldliness and hypocrisy of their rulers. Christ could have healed them, but they would not allow him to do so. They would not be healed. So, verses 4 through 6 say, "Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them, and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men, every one into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them." So verse 4 says, "Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter." This is the charge that God gave to the shepherds, or the leaders of the flock. Feed the flock, marked for slaughter. The Jews were the flock of God, but they were also marked for slaughter. Their enemies would eventually slaughter them. The shepherds had no pity, but only fattened them so they could get the money for the meat obtained by the slaughter. Verse 5 says, "Whose possessors slay them, and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not." The Jewish church was betrayed by their own governors. In Zechariah's time, we find the rulers and the nobles are rebuked for exacting usury from their own countrymen. That's in Nehemiah 5, verses 7 and verse 15. In Christ's time, the Sadducees, who based their religion on philosophy, corrupted their judgments. The Pharisees, who were prejudiced and followed their own superstition, corrupted their moral by making void the commandments of God. Matthew 15:9, Jesus says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Thus they slew the sheep of the flock. Thus they sold them. They insulted God by giving him thanks. They said, "Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich," as if because they had prospered in their wickedness, God had made himself a part of their wicked practices. Christ had compassion on the multitudes because they were weary and were scattered about, as if they had no shepherd. And really, they had worse than none. It is certainly bad for a church when its leaders can look on the ignorant, the foolish, the wicked, and the weak without pity. We must close our lesson at this point. We will begin with the 6th verse next time. Till then, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friend.